Well, the title of the message today is When the Winds Are Against You, and we're looking at John chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. So, when the winds are against you. And by way of introduction, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Now, there were 5,000 men plus women and children, so he actually fed more than 5,000 people. But it was a miracle, and now he's going to work another miracle. First, he needs to send his disciples across the Sea of Galilee so that they can encounter a storm of strong winds, and then he's going to work this miracle. So, we will look first of all at the disciples get into the ship, and we're going to look in John, Matthew, and Mark, because the Gospels work together, as we studied in Sunday school this morning. The Gospels work together, the Gospel records work together to tell the story of Jesus, and they give different details. And so we have to put all these records together, or these accounts together, in order to get the full story. So, looking in John chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea." And Matthew 14:22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." And Mark 6:45, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people." So he's fed the 5,000, and there's all these people there, and the people have started this movement to make him a king by force. They're going to force him to be a king. And so he constrains his disciples to get into the ship. So the word constrain means he urged them. Jesus urged his disciples to go on ahead of him to the other side of the sea. No doubt, some of the disciples also were anxious for him to proclaim himself to be the king of the Jews and to overthrow the Roman armies, because that's what they thought he was going to do as the Messiah. And so he urges the disciples. They're there saying, "No, Lord, let us help you with this crowd. Let us help you with this situation. They're ready to make you a king." And Jesus says, "No, no, fellas, get into this boat. I want you to get into the boat and go to the other side. Go to Bethsaida, and I will join you there. I'll take care of the crowd." So John 6:17 says, "And entered into a ship." They entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Now, where was Jesus? What was taking him so long? And that leads us to the second thing we'll look at, is that Jesus goes into a mountain alone to pray. And in Matthew 14:23, the Bible says, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Mark 6:46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." John 6:15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." So, again, the disciples probably were on board with this. There were people that wanted to go ahead and move the timetable up. You're the Messiah. You proclaimed yourself to be the Messiah through the miracles you're doing. You've got great crowds following you. Now is the time to make your move, Jesus. Now is the time when you need to raise up an army and overthrow the Romans. And of course, when Jesus was crucified, Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, then my people would fight for me." So he said, if I were trying to do a political takeover and overthrow Rome, if my kingdom were of this world, then my people would fight for me. And it's evident that they would have, because they were ready to fight for him at that point. They wanted to hurry up and make him a king. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. That's not what he came to do the first time. And so he goes up into a mountain himself alone. Now the third thing we see is the winds at sea. The winds at sea. John 6:18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Matthew 14:24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So it wasn't unusual for winds to blow through in this area on the Sea of Galilee, but this was a special kind of a wind. It was a gale. It was this very great wind, obviously sent by God, and this miracle was going to happen. And so they are in this ship in the middle of the sea, and they are trying to get to the other side because that's where Jesus told them to go, but there's winds against them. And incidentally, anytime you try and obey God and do what he wants you to do, there will be winds of opposition that will come. That's just part of it. There will be winds against you. Now, the fourth thing we see is that Jesus comes to the disciples walking on the water. John 6:19. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. So they were rowing and rowing and rowing, and they were trying to go against this wind, and they were working hard. And these guys, some of them were professionals at this, so they were used to being out on the Sea of Galilee. And they look and they see Jesus walking on the sea. Now keep in mind, the sea is tempestuous. There's all these waves, these big waves and all this wind, and he's walking on this. And he's coming near to the ship, and naturally they were afraid. In Matthew 14:25-26, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. They thought he was a ghost. They said, it's a ghost. And they were afraid. Mark 6:48-50, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And so Jesus is on this mountain, and he looks. We don't know if he could see it, or if it was a supernatural thing using his power, but he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And so Jesus knew what was going on. He knew what was going to happen when he sent them away in the ship, when he urged them to get into the ship. And that's the thing, when God urges you to do something and you end up doing it, God knows what's going to happen. And he sees what's happening. He sees the struggle they were having with all the winds against them and everything that was going on. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. So he waits, and then at the fourth watch of the night, he comes and he would have passed by them. It's interesting that he came about the fourth watch of the night. That number four is significant. When Lazarus, Jesus' friend, passed away, Jesus tarried for 4 days. Before he came, he could have come quicker, but he tarried, the Bible says, as we'll get to that story eventually in John. And then he comes, and You know, life's hardest 4 days are the times in between when tragedy strikes and when God comes through it. And so you're in that period of time. So it was the fourth watch of the night, and there they were struggling. But Jesus saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he comes unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. So he acts like he's going to pass by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. They were scared. Here he is. He walks past them. They look and say, "Oh, it's a ghost." Mark 6:50, "For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it's I, it's me, be not afraid." Again, this is repeated in John 6:20, "And he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid." And in Matthew 14:27, "And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Afraid. And that's a good word to us when the winds are contrary, that Jesus says, it's me, I'm here, don't be afraid. And that's what he said to the disciples, it is I, be not afraid. Now the fifth thing we see is that Peter tries to walk on the water to Jesus. This is found in Matthew's account in verses 28 through 31. So Matthew 14:28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." That was a lot of faith. They thought it was a ghost. Jesus said, it's me. Fellas, be not afraid. And Peter says, if it's you, then ask me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So he began to doubt. He looked at the waves and everything that was going on with the wind instead of looking to Jesus, and he began to doubt, so he began to sink. We're rather hard on Peter. There's whole sermons preached on that. There's whole sermons preached on how Peter took his eyes off Jesus and lost his faith. But it was more than the other disciples did. At least Peter got in the water. They just sat on the boat. So he attempted something, but he did take his eyes off Jesus. He began to look at the circumstances instead of the Lord. And Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Of course, he had to have faith to get in the water and walk on the water. His faith became little when he saw the waves. Now the sixth thing we see is that Jesus stops the storm. Jesus stops the storm. Matthew 14:32, "And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased." Mark 6:51, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered." How can this be? How can Jesus walk on the water, get on our ship, and the wind cease? This wind that's been blowing, it was over. How can this be? They were amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." So they could have considered the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 and known that Jesus would save them from the storm, but they did not consider it because their heart was hardened. Jesus can multiply food, but he can't control the weather. That's too big. That's the way they thought, and that's the way that we think too. God helps us with something, with one thing, and then when something else happens that's bigger, we think this is too big. We don't know if God will help us with this, because this is too big. And that's what they did. Their heart was hardened. We don't know if this was part of God hardening their heart so they couldn't see things at that moment clearly, or if it was a situation where they had hardened their own hearts because of the danger they were facing. Because no doubt the disciples got out in the boat and they were griping and complaining. We don't have a record of this, but this is just what people do. They had begged Jesus to let them stay and help him. And now they get out in the boat doing what Jesus urged them to do, and they're caught in the middle of a storm. And things are bad. And then they've been scared by seeing what they thought was a ghost. And then Peter got out of the boat and walked in the water and he sunk. And so when Jesus gets on the boat, their hearts are hardened. And Jesus gets on the boat and stops the storm, and they're amazed. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. They didn't consider the fact that if Jesus could feed 5,000 and multiply food, he could also control the weather. Now the seventh thing we see is that the ship arrives at land. John 6:21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. So this was another miracle. The ship arrived immediately. They were in the middle of the sea, and then they were at land. It was just like, boop, they're at land. Another miracle. Now, I've had something like this happen, but it wasn't miraculous, as so far as I know. Maybe you've had this happen. One night, I was driving to Bible college in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it was at night, and my allergies were bothering me, and instead of taking, I thought I was taking a Claritin, instead I took a Benadryl. Now, Benadryl makes me very sleepy. So I was driving, and all of a sudden, I started to fall asleep, and I couldn't stay awake, and I thought I was going to crash on the interstate. And I prayed and begged God to help me and wake me up. And I don't remember much after that. I remember seeing one moment I was in Cleveland, Tennessee, and the next moment I saw that I was near Knoxville. And the next moment I was at home in Knoxville. But God certainly got me there safely. But these disciples, this was truly a miracle here, is that these disciples, they are in the ship and they receive Jesus into the ship, and immediately the ship's at the land whither they went. By the way, it's sometimes true that, you know, you wait a long time for God to move, but when God starts to move, things move quickly. Now the eighth thing we see is that the disciples worship Jesus, Matthew 14:33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, this doesn't mean that they didn't believe he was the Son of God before. It was like a fresh revelation. It's like they're saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God," because of what Jesus had done. And going through a storm, through contrary winds, when you get through it and when God helps you through it, it will give you a fresh revelation of who God is. You should go through a storm, and when God delivers you, you can say, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." You are God. You are all powerful. You are able to control the wind and the waves and circumstances and everything else, because you're God. "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, when the winds are against you, it should cause you to, number one, realize your helplessness without Jesus. Realize your helplessness without Jesus. The disciples didn't have Jesus on the ship, so they were helpless. So it should cause us to realize our helplessness without Jesus. Number two, it should cause us to recognize Jesus' presence in the storm. Jesus is present in the storms of our lives. When the wind is contrary against us, Jesus is there. And we don't always recognize him. We may misunderstand him like they thought it was a ghost. They misunderstood what was going on. But Jesus is present in the storm. And number three, it should cause us to worship Jesus as the Son of God. Because the proper response to Jesus when he works a miracle and when he delivers us and when he does something that only God can do is to recognize who he is. He's the Son of God. And we praise the Lord for that. So when the winds are against you, and through this situation, it was revealed to the disciples in a new way that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And even though he didn't do what they wanted him to do, which was to proclaim himself to be the king and set up his kingdom and overthrow the Romans, he's still the Messiah. And he still must be worshiped as the Son of God, because God doesn't have to do what we think he should do. But God always does right. And we praise the Lord for that. Now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior, he is the Son of God, and he did die on the cross for your sins, and he was buried and he rose from the dead. And if you will put your faith in him, believe in him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior, he'll come into your life and he'll forgive your sins and he'll save you and he'll give you the peace and hope of eternal life. And you'll know that you're going to heaven when you die because Jesus is your Savior. So won't you receive him today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this church. I do pray that we would trust you in the middle of the contrary winds of life, in the midst of the storm, that we would look to you and worship you and know your presence. I thank you for the deliverance that you bring. I pray if anyone here doesn't know you as Savior, that today will be the day that they will turn to you in faith and believe in you and be born again and to have the assurance of salvation. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.